West Binghamton. Just stay tuned. Soon come, Neil Fraser will be on the line, the Mad Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have Neil Fraser, the Mad Professor, on the line. Are you there, Neil?
Yes. Good day, Ralph Charles. How are you? All right?
All right. We've been featuring some some Ariwa label stuff, and I can't wait to hear Aisha, because I hear you've been doing... you want to tell the listeners what your trip here?
Yeah, well, we've been on tour for the past... 2.5 weeks, myself and Aisha, and we've seen up and down the West Coast, actually, from LA to LA, way up to Canada.
All the way up to Canada. Can you speak just a little bit louder, Neil? Louder, please, Neil.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, I just started. Yeah. From LA to way up in Canada, Victoria Island, you know, Vancouver.
So how long are you going to be here with Aisha?
Well, it finishes today.
So you're heading back home?
Yeah, of course.
And when are you coming forward again?
I don't know.
When somebody wants you, eh? When somebody wants you here. You're coming.
Yeah, they will stop. We know we don't really deal with a clarifying business. Just wait for the office.
Well, you know what?
That'd be cool too.
We don't have much time because you know you were telling me the hotel is causing some problems. So listen, Neil, I just want to big you up and let the listeners know it's 25 years. It's a long time that you've been doing it. Just quickly tell the listeners about Ariwa Studio.
Well, Ariwa is a studio label that I started first back in... The ideas came to me in the late 70s. Then I practically kicked off in my front room around 1979.
Mm-hmm.
By building my own equipment and putting the four-track studio together. Then we rapidly upgraded the studio from 4 to 8 to 16. And then moved out of my front room.
Mm-hmm.
And moved into a basement in Peckham. And carried on in Peckham for about 4 years. In this time, made a few hits. Upgraded the studio to 24 tracks. Still using a lot of homemade equipment. And then moved from Peckham, from Godfrey Road, Peckham, to its current address, which is 34 Whitehorse Lane, back in Croydon, and that's where we've been since, and we're still in existence there. And in this time, from that time till now, the label has produced around 200 different albums, hundreds of various singles, as you do now, as you would know. A variety of artists varying from Jamaica, UK, even other countries, France, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like all established reggae singers. Uroy, Lee Perry, we've had like British singers, you know, Kofi, Aisha, Samico, John McLean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of different. Too many to mention.
A lot. I will say, you know what? I will say too many. I say not enough. Because that studio, man, the sound that it gets, you know what I'm saying there? It's just unbelievable. And the works that you're doing, man, it's a very positive thing, you know, especially being a black-owned business, you know, in the music business. I want to big you up, brother. And this is Black History Month over here. I want to big you up as a hero for Black History Month, my brother, for your tenacity and how long you've been doing this thing.
Yeah. Well, if you know, running any business is not easy. The music business is well known for its cunningness and its changing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's such a evolving business. I guess partly because it's based on technology, and partly because it's a business wherein anybody could be anything from one day to the other. Like, you could meet a guy today who, like yesterday, was like, he could have been a car mechanic, but people then told him he could sing, and then today he's a singer. Tomorrow he could be in Top the Pops. You could meet a guy who don't know anything about management. He suddenly decided he's going to be a manager. You know, he's a manager. So because of that, it changes, and because of the change in technology, it's a business, it's an industry that depends on technology, and right now, obviously, with the change of technology, something that could be legal today could be illegal tomorrow, vice versa, you know. So it's not an easy business. Now, I guess as a black man too, to be in business in any society, because in my travels I still see a lot of room for like black industrial. A whole lot of room, you know, still not enough being done, you know, and it's not something gonna be done by anyone else, it's gonna be done by us.
And you know something I want to point out to the listeners, and I want to big up that country, because it's produced some other heroes like Mr. Rodney. Is the country that you're from? Would you tell the listeners where you're from?
Oh, you mean where I was born?
Yes, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was born in Guyana. So, I mean, I'm a citizen of the world.
Well, you know, Mr. Rodney taught at this university, man. Walter Rodney?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I've heard about him from when I was small, you know.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
He flew about him, you know. But, I mean, I don't know how much that has got to do with geographically where you're from, but it's, you know, the British West Indian colonies, they've all got a lot in common, and unless you travel around, you wouldn't know. Even though Guyana is next door to Venezuela, if you leave Guyana and you go to Venezuela, you'd find it's like going to Spain. Whereas if you leave Guyana and you go to Trinidad or Barbados or Jamaica, then you'd see that there's quite a lot more in common.
Similarities, much so, yes.
Right. So you find the English-speaking Caribbean is very, very similar, other than accents, you know. I mean, we've got fufu, we got dumpling, we got, you know.
We got all them things, man.
Yeah, the talk is the same. Papa is the same, Shredder. Because, you know, it's like a man brother could have been taken to Georgetown and his sister taken to Kingston. And that's the effect of the slave trade, really.
Serious thing.
People forget about this, you know, they expect.
Well, you know, certain school systems don't teach that, so, you know, youth don't, you know, think that a person is so foreign, and yet they're so close, and they don't realize it, you know. Yeah. It's like, you're my brother, man, even though I tell the brother, you're from down south, you're from the Caribbean, you're from down south, brother, that's all.
That's it. But, you know, there's a lot of things available that we could get onto, especially now with the internet, it's such a great learning medium. And you know, like Marcus Garvey, I mean, you know, in some ways he was way ahead of his time, and in some ways it's a shame, because he was on the right track from an early 20th century, you know. And I think if many people had really followed what he was doing, you know, the whole world would be in a better place, you know.
I think you got a point there, Neil.
Yeah, a lot of people saw him as a threat and just ignore the whole thing, you know.
And I think Martin Luther King would be not so happy if he saw what was happening at this time.
Right. Well, I mean, again, none of the real Pan-Africanists and none of the real conscious black leaders would really be pleased because, in a sense, we've digressed. In a sense, we've gone back from where it was even in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of people marched and got killed and got jailed because of what they believed in. And then suddenly you get a generation that either don't want to do nothing or...
Tell me about it, brother.
I just drop out totally. I mean, it's ridiculous. But hopefully it's just a temporary thing.
I think it's temporary, Neil.
Yeah, well, it's got to be. If not, we do. Yeah, so let's hope so.
Is it me? Is our connection? It seems like you're kind of fading.
Yeah, well, I'm in a place called Arcata.
Arcata, California?
Yeah, on the west coast. And it's not much going on here. In fact, my mobile phone doesn't even work here.
Wow.
Because what it meant is that I've had 24 hours of rest. no calls on the mobile phone. But how's it there in Binghamton? Because I remember going there a couple of times at the Haunt. Is it the Haunt?
The Haunt is in Ithaca, which is 50 minutes away.
Yeah.
That's
a few times at the Haunt.
Yeah, man. At the Haunt. And then Syracuse too, my brother. You know, we've been doing it since, hey, listen, it's 10 years now almost. Like 97 was the first time at the Haunt. But Sharifa and Eddie and Black Steel.
Right.
You remember her and Nolan Irie? Remember? And heal up all those people, man.
Yes. Okay. And tell me, do you get our records on the mailing list?
Man, I've been wanting to do that, but you know, Neil, and, you know, we communicate email-wise, but ever since Ross doesn't, you know, unless you have a hookup with Ross and Sanctuary, you know, I don't get anything from Aura directly.
You didn't get this Method to the Madness album.
Nah, man, I didn't get, and Aisha has a new one, didn't get that one either.
Yeah, there's more to life. Well, what to do is to send me an email with your current mail address, and I'll forward it off, and hopefully this week we'll get you a bunch of new stuff, you know?
And something else we mentioned, remember we said that Trojan did a big thing on you, and you were gonna hook me up with that contact for Trojan Records with because you
that's the album I'm talking about, which is called Method to the Madness.
Yeah, that's right. Okay,
I don't know what's the position with Trojan here in the U.S. You know, because they went through a little bit of rejection. And I haven't been able to speak to anyone in the office here. But what I'll do, I'll have to talk to someone back in the UK to find out what's going on.
Okay.
Disbanded the US office or what? Because it used to be in conjunction with Raz. But I'll speak to Gary and find out. But regardless, we could get you because everything comes from us first before it goes to Trojan.
Okay.
So we could get it to you direct from Ariba.
And before I forget, you know who told me to big you up? Mr. Bamba.
Oh, yes. a very cool guy, very good friend. He's always experimenting. He tend to work in the studio a lot with my son, Joe. A lot of work with Joe.
Well, you know what? I might be doing something for him. I just, you know, because we communicate back and forth. He lets me know when he's working with you and everything. So I might be doing something over here working for him, Neil.
Good idea. Yeah, he seems to be getting a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, and then I enlighten the people here about the works he's done for Sickle Cell, which, you know, a lot of people are not aware that should be aware of that, you know. And he got that award and went, he felt uptight going to 10 Downing Street, you know, but to receive the award for sickle cell. But I told him, don't fear no way. It's a positive thing. You don't have to look them in the eye. Yeah, man. So listen, I'm going to let you go, Neil.
Yeah, and keep the Keith Hudson sax line. It's a pity you didn't hear the show because we're actually running a few Keith Hudson tracks that we've remixed.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dig into my Keith Hudson archives. And you know what else I got? I got an interview that I'm going to send you that, what's his name? The big man over there in England that does the radio. What's his name?
Radigan?
Yeah, Radigan interviewed Keith in 1979, and then he played. He did a show after Keith died in 84. He did a show featuring all the Keith stuff plus the interview.
Okay.
I should send you that. You would appreciate love that one, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was always a versatile. I mean, I remember. We went to stuff like for years. I mean, I know he wasn't the world's best singer.
Right.
Ideas. When it comes to ideas, he certainly had a lot of ideas.
Yeah, you know who spoke well of him? Two people, Clive Chin and Ari of the Slits.
Okay.
And you know, believe it or not, Neil, I met her at his place in Queens. He lived in Queens, New York, and that's how I met her. Okay. And I did a. And listen, I'm also sent you my email. My interviews. When you have a chance, which I know you're a busy man all the time, try and listen to some of those interviews I sent you.
I'm a real big fan of him. I really thought he was like unique.
Well, I loved him, man. I loved him, and I broke bread with him. And when I found out that he had passed, man, it kind of really messed me up. Because it was like seeing him.
Brent Clark. Did you know Brent Clark from the UK that he used to work with? That was like his agent.
I heard him talking about him, but I never met him.
Okay.
You know, he worked with Militant Barry. He worked with. He mentioned some Sid Buckner. He worked with some people over there in England that he mentioned, but I never met them.
Okay, because Brent was also instrumental in establishing him and the whole family man connection in the UK in the late 70s. It's quite a small world and well connected. And Brent is one of the guys who actually helped my career in like the early 80s as well. So, you know, it's quite a small world, I guess.
It is a small world, you know, it's like. You know, you don't believe it sometimes. And then you go back and you find things out from past things. It's just, oh, man, I tried it right across this path, man. Oh, my God. Yeah, man. And as long as we in it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Yeah, as long as we in this thing and doing the works that we're doing, brother, we're gonna run because it's vibes, man.
Yeah, man.
That's all it is, man. You be trying to figure it out. You say, man, ain't nothing but vibes, man. Positive energy.
Positive energy. You got it right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna get your email and